Paul, what exactly is a wormhole out there?
Well, we've all heard of black holes, and you know, wormholes sort of sound like the same thing, but they're not. If you fall into a black hole, famously, you don't get out again. It's a trap, a one-way journey to nowhere, and so it's got an entrance but no exit. Well, a wormhole would have an exit as well as an entrance. So you could not only fall through it and come out somewhere else, you could look through it. You can imagine seeing this object in space. Is it a black hole? Well, does it look black? Or is it a wormhole? Well, goodness me, we can look right through what seems to be a black disk, and we see something the other side. And so it's actually a wormhole. And it would be like what in science fiction is called a stargate. So if I imagine I had a wormhole in my house here, where the window is, so I jump through the window and I don't come out in the backyard. I come out, you know, maybe on the other side of the galaxy. And anyone who's seen the Hollywood movie Contact will remember Jodie Foster doing this very thing. She falls through a wormhole. She gets dropped into this sort of gigantic kitchen mixer looking thing in Japan and comes out near the star Vega many light years away after about a journey of a few minutes. This has already made it into science fiction. The question is, do wormholes really exist? Are they out there in the universe?
And can you direct them, if they do exist, to wherever you want to go?
Well, again, we're talking Star Trek technology. What you'd ideally like to do is be able to manipulate the ends of the wormhole, partly because then you could turn it into a time machine, but also you could turn it into a rapid transit system. You could position them around the universe so that you can jump through and come out with a Stargate, come out very shortly somewhere a long way away a little bit later. But if you can do that, if you can effectively shortcut through space, you can then cut through time as well. And a loop through space becomes a loop through time.
Wild card line, it's your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi.
Hi, George.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I'm Lincoln in San Diego.
Hi, Lincoln.
How you doing? Yeah, I'm a long-time listener. I've been listening to you guys for about 15 years or so, I guess.
Oh, well, thank you. Go ahead.
Great show. The question I have is, now, we have galaxies out there that are not only moving away from us, but they're moving away from each other.
Correct.
So my question is space being created, or maybe space is being poured into our three or four dimensions from one of the seven or eight other dimensions?
I like to say it in exactly your way, that space is being created, that it's not so much that the galaxies are rushing apart from a common center, it's that the space between them is swelling or increasing every day. So there's a little bit more space around. And you think, well, how can space do that? Well, we know that space is a malleable, stretchy, elastic sort of thing, and we were just talking about how it can appear to be shrunk by motion. And the generalization of that is that space, some people like to think of it as a sort of three-dimensional rubber sheet or something. It can be stretched, it can be vibrated, and the vibrations of space are things called gravitational waves, and this is part of the armory of modern physics and astronomy, to look for gravitational waves coming from violent events in the universe. So space is not just a fixed arena, it's something that's malleable, and it can stretch, and that's the best way of thinking of it, and it can vibrate, and it can shrink as well.
My thinking was that possibly, like in our own solar system, we don't see space increasing, so maybe gravity sort of holds it together in certain places,
that's
but in other
exactly,
spots it's sort of growing apart or expanding.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Einstein would have loved you as a student, because that's pretty much his theory. He says gravity is not so much a force, it's more a warping or a distortion of space-time, the geometry of space-time. You have to say the two together. But space comes into that too, and you can have warped space. And people say, what's warped space? And I'll give you an example. At school we learn the rules of geometry, at least I used to. I don't know if they teach it these days, that Euclid assembled. And one of these is that if you add up the angles of a triangle, it comes to two right angles, 180 degrees. Well, you draw a triangle around the sun, and the angles add up to something a bit different from that, because the sun warps the space in its vicinity. But we don't notice much effect in our solar system because the gravity of the solar system holds it together. That's not expanding. Even the galaxy isn't expanding. You've got to go to the scale of clusters of galaxies before you begin to see this space stretching effect.
Some 90% of the universe, they say, Paul, at least, is dark matter. Exactly what is that?
Well, if only we knew. It's one of the great unsolved questions of cosmology, that we know there's a lot of stuff out there, but we don't know what it is.
Is it because we can't see it?
It's partly for that reason. Now, there are two sorts of dark stuff. One is dark matter and the other is dark energy. Let me just briefly deal with dark matter first. There are plenty of candidate objects. For example, black holes, black, and so we find them hard to see. There are subatomic particles that would have been coughed out of the Big Bang that are so penetrating, so inconspicuous, they can go right through us and right through the Earth without even a shudder.
Hmm.
And so there's all that stuff that we wouldn't see at a casual glance. And when you add up all the candidates, there are about 30 different things that the dark matter could be. And we don't know what it is. So it's one of the great challenges of modern cosmology, is to identify the nature of that dark matter. But it's not an embarrassment in the sense that we can't figure out what it could possibly be. It's an embarrassment because there are too many things it could be.
But we're sure that it is there.
Oh, yes. And the reason we know that is because of its gravitational pull.